passada no centro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Group D episode of the Soccer Talk FC podcast World Cup review. If Group C felt like a proper World Cup group, Group D feels like an easy group to predict. And Group D has France, Australia, Denmark and Tunisia. Well, it sounds easy to predict because I want to believe that if we were to take a poll of 100 people, about 95 of them would expect that France and Denmark would go out of this group. It's just a case of who will be topping, who will be second, especially considering that Argentina would very likely top the other group, and whoever comes second here will be playing against Argentina. And then there's a small matter of Australia and Tunisia also. Historically, these are teams who do not do well in the World Cup. But then you never can tell, a goal here and there, a victory here and there could also be a very huge boost. So let's get into it. I'll have a conversation around the four teams so that we can prepare you for the excitement that is coming up in Qatar within the next 1 month. I'd like to start with France. And this is a French team that I find very puzzling. There are times that I have looked at the whole competition and I think my heart would have wanted France to win. But then they are the defending champions and I wonder if they have enough in their tank to win. And when I speak of their tank, this is a French team that does not have Paul Pogba, that does not have N'Golo Kante, a dodgy Karim Benzema. I mean, when I say dodgy, I mean fitness-wise. Rafael Varane, dodgy. Jules Koundé, not very fit. We have Kimpembe, who is also coming back. I think I heard that Nkunku had to leave because he got injured also in training. I mean, quite clearly, France has won the World Cup of injuries. If we're going to say, okay, there's a World Cup of injuries, quite clearly, France has won the World Cup of injuries. This is a group of players, or should I say a team right now going to the World Cup, that I think It is for France, the way I see it is, it's not going to be anything in the middle. It's going to be extreme for them. It's either they get knocked out of the group stage, which is going to be very, very surprising, or they go all the way and then get up onto the final. And it is going to be very, 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 very French-like because this is a team that does not have the Kante-Pogba combo, like I said earlier, which was the same combo that won them the last World Cup. Now, if you look at the players that they have, I wouldn't call it replacement, but the players that they have in that mix, we're speaking of players like Vertu, Guendouzi, Rabiot, and then there is Kamavinga and Tchouameni. While you still see some sprinkle of talent there, it's either talent that is not experienced enough at this stage, or even the ones that are experienced enough at this stage are not good enough to fill in that role. So quite clearly, their midfield is my biggest concern because they do not have enough quality to replace what they have lost in Paul Pogba and N'Golo Kante. All the quality of this team feels like it is in the attacking third. In the attacking third, they have Kylian Mbappe, Karim Benzema, Griezmann. They have Antoine Griezmann, Giroud, Ousmane Dembele, Kingsley Coman. I'm trying to see how he's able to fit all this into the World Cup games that is coming up. Although I expect that he would play a 4-3-1-2, which is what he usually plays when everybody is fit, and then he will have Griezmann in a withdrawn position, playing behind the two top strikers of Kylian Mbappe and, of course, Karim Benzema. But then you look at the whole French team, and it just does not seem like everything is right with them. We are not able to actually tell how Karim Benzema feels physically and his mental state having won the Ballon d'Or. We cannot tell how Mbappe is because Mbappe has had a very complicated year. As much as he has had some very good games also and some very good performances, he has had a very complicated year in terms of mentally and the mental approach to the game. There was this summer, how do I call it? It's actually charade or what, all over moving to Real Madrid or staying at Paris Saint-Germain. There have been a whole lot of negative news coming out of the dressing room of Paris Saint-Germain. So ultimately, you wonder what kind of mental state is he going into the World Cup? Does he see it as a liberation from whatever may be happening in PSG? Or does he see it as another opportunity for him to be able to probably take one over Messi or take one over Mbappe? Neymar, sorry. And then you have the Antoine Griezmann situation, who is the third guy in the attack. For most part of the season so far, Griezmann had to be playing 30 minutes, as contractually it has become between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid before they were able to agree on a state. So you look at those are the three guys that are likely to start. Then the midfield also, as I have analyzed, and you look at it, and the French national team does not look as fearsome as you might think they are. Coupled with the fact that they also have the fullback issues. Yes, Lucas Hernandez is back in the team. Teo Hernandez is back in the team, but even Benjamin Pavard is back in the team. But then, I mean, these are guys who, aside Teo, who has been much more consistent at Milan, the other guys does not seem to be consistent enough for you to be able to place your money on them. So, by the time you look at the whole French team national, the French national team going into the World Cup, you just wonder. It feels like while we know the players, while they are very popular players, we don't know what we are going to get from this particular team. Then add to the fact that this is Deschamps' last big competition. I mean, when a manager goes into a competition as the last big competition, players, it's easy for players to zone off when things are not going right because they know that by the next competition, he will not be around to be the one picking. So he will not be able to use experiences of the past one. Didier Deschamps also, Deschamps has the looming figure of Zinedine Zidane over him. It is clear that once he leaves, Zidane takes over. So that level of uncertainty, I wonder where he will leave the team mentally. Then there are issues with the French FA. The French FA have their own internal issues. There is issue with the Benzema Giroud. I don't know if they have resolved that, but that notwithstanding, the French national team always have some sort of camps every time you go to into international competition. So the general atmosphere surrounding the French team is quite poor. While they have a whole lot of exciting and players who looked very good, they've been battered by injury. The atmosphere seems poor. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if they get knocked out of the first round. But I feel like if they get out of the first round, they're a team that can develop as the competition goes on, and they might even get to the final. Because by then, I mean, if they keep going on, you have guys like Benzema, Varane, and Co. who are beginning to get games and beginning to hit fitness. It might just be bad for everybody else that by the time they'll be hitting the peak, will be at the tail end of the competition and they might come good. But then again, it's exciting. We'll follow the French national team. We'll see how that goes. Let's move on to discuss Australia. The Socceroos are a very spirited team and they're playing against France first, so they have their advantage of catching France unawares. I would be surprised if Australia beats France, but then not because I think Australia will be very good, but because again, like I said, we don't know what we might expect from the French national team. Australia qualified by beating Peru on penalties. It was a very exciting penalty shootout to watch. One thing about this Australian team coming to the World Cup is that they do not have that. I don't want to use the word galactico because they never had a galactico. But then, in the context of Australia, they do not have that star player they can look up to. In previous competitions, they have about three or four elite players in the team. You will find Tim Cahill, Brett Emerton. There's this guy that used to play for Blackburn Rovers, the defender. Yeah, but of course, you find a couple of those players playing at top level football in Europe in the Australian national team. The current team currently has, I think, Matt Ryan, who plays for Copenhagen FC. He was in the Champions League, although he's not a regular. There is Aaron Moyes at Celtic, and I don't think they have any prominent player in the English Premier League or any of the top five leagues that I can remember. Even the players that they have that are in Europe, I mean, like I mentioned, Matsiraya earlier, are not playing regularly. So while this might be good for them because they'll come in fresh, At the same time, you also have to think of the fact that they may not have match fitness. But then, for a country like Australia, even though the football culture in the country is beginning to improve, I feel coming to the World Cup is enough for them. I don't think they have high hopes of getting out of this group. And I don't ex unfortunately for them, again, the group is a tough one. I don't expect them to get out of it. So let's move on to Denmark. And I want to believe that France will be very, 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 very afraid of Denmark right now. And that is because Denmark has beaten France in the Nations League home and away this year alone. So, of course, fate has put them again in the same group. We expect that they are the two that will make it out of the group. So the game against each other might just be the decider for who tops the group and avoid facing potentially Argentina. A lot of people have Denmark as their dark horses. I don't think they are dark horse. I see them as what do I even say is the opposite of dark horse? I'll see them as a light horse if there is anything like that. And that's because if Denmark happens to get into the quarters or semi-finals, I don't think it will surprise me at all. I mean, look at it. Let's look at it from an angle. Like, this is like the last dance. So this is the last World Cup for a number of their top senior players. I'm sure this is Schmeichel's last World Cup. Højbjerg, Simon Kjær, Delaney, and Eriksen himself is 30 years old, so he might just be looking to call it quits, considering some of the health challenges that may be around him. I'm glad that he's back for the World Cup, but then seeing him at the World Cup again in 4 years' time is, I mean, chances are slim considering how his career has gone all the while. So this might just be their last dance, and I feel they might give it an all and do a whole lot better than just being called dark horses. Now, if they happen to stop this group, I don't think I would be surprised. Again, now in this case, not just because there is uncertainty over the French national team, but because they are good enough to top this group. They topped France in the Nations League group, so they might as well still top this, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now, one unique thing for them, which a whole lot of teams have not been able to benefit from this Qatar 2022, is that they do not have any injury problem. The only doubt that Denmark has is Christensen, who is not injured, but of course we all know that you don't know what you when he will get injured or what you get from him. That's around the only downside. Aside from that, they have a clean bill of health. They're able to call on the players they wanted to get to the World Cup. And I think I even saw it somewhere. A Barcelona fan once wrote that, I think I saw it yesterday or the yesterday on Twitter. I remember he's a Barcelona fan because I had to go and check him out, that he's placing his money on Martin Braithwaite to end as the top scorer. Well, we'll see how that goes. If you follow Denmark lately, you will know that the kind of they play good football. In fact, an improvement on whatever they had done at the last Euros. They're a compact, spirited group. And then you add Eriksen to that team that got to the World Cup semi-final. And you see that they're a very, very, very good team. Much better than being called dark horses. And the path for them could just be smooth when you consider that, excuse me, if they happen to top the group, they'll be playing against Mexico or Poland. Of course, you would make them favorite for that game. And let's say they're able to scale it, then they're likely to potentially meet England, who has their own vulnerabilities. And if you go back to the Euro when they played England also, was it in the semi or the quarters when they played against England? England had to win the game with a very harsh penalty. So I'm sure Denmark will fancy their chances against England. And for all you care, we might just have Denmark in the semi-final. So I wouldn't call Denmark a dark horse. I expect a lot from them, and I'll be surprised if they don't hit that level of my expectation. The final team in this group is Tunisia. They are managed by Jalil Kadri. This is a very journeyman in the African football. He has managed. He has been assistant to the Tunisian national team. He is managing the national team now. He has managed a couple of clubs in South Africa. He has managed a couple of clubs in Libya. They are not that exceptionally talented team, but of course, they have a couple of popular players that you may know. Hannibal plays for Manchester United. They have Webby Cassidy, who is the focal point of the team. They can blow hot and cold, although mostly cold, but on their good day, they're also able to give anybody a game. I don't know what to expect from them actually when it comes to results, because they have been very terrible in the African Cup of Nations qualifiers. I think they are not a very good team. I think they are between not very good and mediocre. That's where I will put them. Eight of their last competitive games have ended with them scoring not more than one goal. The game against Australia would offer them an opportunity to at least win a World Cup game, which they have not won in a very long while. Winning a game or even scoring a goal might just mean so much to a whole lot of these little countries where we expect so little. Again, Tunisia has also not made it out of the group stage, and I do not expect them to make it out of this particular group stage. To wrap it up, if you ask me, while I think that Denmark is going to give France a run for their money, I expect that France should still have enough in the tank, enough individual brilliance to be able to win this group and avoid Argentina in the second round. Even though it will be exciting to see them play against each other, I expect that France should have enough. But if Denmark happens to keep France to the top of this group, I wouldn't be surprised at the same time. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for sticking with me through this group day. Let's jump on to group A. Bye.